It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all along on this second Saturday of snapper season, whether or not nearly as good this one as was the last one.
I don't think it's going to quite be so good.
Well, you know, one thing that's good about that, though, is as we, you know, work within the constraints now, even with state management, we're working towards that tonnage, that million pounds of snapper. And, you know, last weekend, even though it was a two-day versus, you know, what we've had with the three-day weekend, so it was a two-day, I think at least the word I'm getting from Alabama Marine Resources is we caught a lot of fish.
Sure. And we all knew we'd catch a lot of fish.
Right, but absolutely. The nice thing is now the difference is, and this is why you and I have talked about the value of using Snapper Check and all that, it seems like people are like, why do I want to tell them I caught fish? You really want to tell them you caught fish because on weekends like this one where people aren't fishing, that information is now valid. So instead of the feds doing what they used to do and saying, well, there's the same number of people fish every given open day and they catch the same number of fish, now we have the actual stats coming from the state that we're not out there. And, you know, when it's 4 foot seas, the fishing pressure is way reduced. So that is why this is a good example. This weekend's a good example of why doing your reporting. Number one, don't get a ticket. But number two, why the Snap app and reporting your information is so important, because now we have the feds on board with our reporting system. So when Scott Bannon and others at Marine Resources say, listen, people didn't fish. People didn't go out in this.
Yeah.
Then
we had
those
10 snapper reports.
That's right. That's right. So now we have those fish that we continue to be able to catch those tonnage, that tonnage going forward. So
I just want to go down to Dolphin Island this weekend and be able to park my truck.
Yeah, that's true. You could do that. You could get a parking place today.
Yeah.
It's a bad sign. If you ever pull up a Billy Goat Hole and you don't have to walk a half marathon to get to your back to from parking, that means it's probably rough out there.
Yeah,
and we'll talk more about the snapper season going forward, and also the weekend that was coming up in a little bit. Also, do a little poll report. I got some information on turkey hatching and all that. We'll talk about that. Some personal, some pictures. We'll put those up as well.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. And talking about fishing, it's that time of year. Mystic CW from the Mystic Stripers Fishing Rodeo is gracing our studios again this year. Thanks for coming back.
Well, guys, thanks for having us. You know, you've been with us the whole time, and this is our 17th annual Mystic Stripers Family Fishing Rodeo. Remember, June 15th. They say if you say things 3 to 6 times, they'll always
remember.
It's like
a radio thing, right?
Yeah,
your frequency.
Like that. Frequency.
Yes.
So June 15th, Dolphin Island Marina. Come on down. It's Father's Day. And what rhymes with Father's Day? Fishing fun and more fun in fishing.
Does that rhyme?
It does.
Mystic CW. Does that rhyme?
Okay. It rhymes in the stripers. See,
okay.
A lot of times when we
striper ease.
Yeah, and in striper ease, you guys have to be indoctrinated into the libations of our of our society, and we are the largest one-day fishing rodeo in the Gulf of Mexico. And like
wow.
you said, we really appreciate it. We've got 16 different inshore. There are 16 inshore and offshore categories, and we've got cash jackpots for the red snapper and speckled trout, so which is really, really good. And you know something? Even if you don't fish, we got you covered. We give away thousands of dollars in door prizes. We got Pelican coolers. We got Mystic Angler cash drawings. And somebody is going to win a personal water jet ski lift. Compliments of Gary Lewis at Hurricane Marine Products. I can't say enough how much people and local businesses, when they cash in all their money from all the red snapper and everything else that they're going to cost, they're going to come to Mike Ward's and say, "I need a safe to put all my money in." And that kind
there
of thing.
You
so,
go.
So it's one of those things where you just it's a win-win situation. And anybody that doesn't believe that the Stripers has a family fishing rodeo on Saturday, June the 15th, then come down and see for yourself, because we really appreciate all of the local guys that participate. And you know, it's easy to sit here and say, "Yeah, but Bass Pro Shops helps us," but they really do. They do a lot of good things for us. But most importantly, the local guys, who some of the guys are in the Stripers, like Bart Lucas at L&M Tires, Smith Electric, Little Brian's Produce Extravaganza. If you've gotten your fresh produce, you want to get it from that. Dennis Langan Construction, Don's Heating and Air, Butch Cassidy's, Judy's Place, and Gillis Construction. Those are just a few including mobile appliances. It's people that put their hard work, their money, their efforts and things into the rodeo. Most of them fish, but like I said, even if you don't fish, you come down there and you're going to see what a $25, because it's only $25 for your tickets. MSSRodeo.com, and you can also go to MSS Rodeo on Facebook and Twitter. You can find us. You can find all the places where we have tickets. And we have you guys 20 tickets this year. And so you're going to be giving away.
Yep, giving away tickets.
People, keep your radios locked right here. Win yourself some free tickets. Come down there. Have a good time. And we're going to give a big portion of our proceeds to the St. Jude's Children's Hospital. And that's
awesome.
And every year we've done that, we match the money that that we raise, and that's also from our Red Snapper and Speckled Trout jackpots. And so being able to give the money back, and kids 12 and under, $10. It's $10 for your and we've got prizes for croaker, hardhead catfish, white trout, and Bass Pro Shops did, you know, they gave us those, and we really appreciate it. But it's a something for everybody, and I know a lot of people sit back and go, well, my dad doesn't need a new pair of socks again, but boy, I know he likes to go fishing. So yeah. let's get down there.
It's about the memories, right?
And you can never replace those. Now, you need to be careful climbing up and down ladders on boats and all these other kinds of things.
When get old like me. Yeah,
that's what we hear, huh,
yeah,
Sean?
We're hearing that people can injure themselves if they're not very, very careful out there. So be very careful when you're on your computer. Don't get a hangnail or anything like that. And go to MSSRodeo.com and look us up, Facebook and Twitter at MSSRodeo, and come participate and have some fun with us.
That's you know, the nice thing is, even you show up for the party and then a fishing rodeo breaks out. I mean, y'all got this party thing figured out too.
and ironically enough, it's funny you should say that. This year we've got the food trucks and things like that. We've got several food trucks that are going to come down there, and they're going to cook things authentic, just the way you want them. And it's family fun. And whenever you can get a lot of people who agree on one thing, I mean, last time I checked, I haven't seen too many people turn down some black and red snapper, really nice grouper. And I mean, we catch a lot of fish down there. And the interesting thing is when the boats come in, people don't realize that all of the deckhands and things, all those tables are full because they're filleting these fish out and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody goes, you know what? I haven't got an ice chest or a cooler. You want some? You walk over there, heck, you get 5-10 pounds of red snapper right there just because somebody says, hey, you know, I haven't got an ice chest to cover that.
So it's a reason to lurk around.
You can lurk. You know something? There is a lurking – there are no lurking laws on Dauphin Island, so you can come down there. Participate. Like I said, buy a ticket for the door prizes because, like I said, we give away thousands of dollars. All different kinds of coolers, all different – and every one of these industries that I mentioned before, they're donating things, oil changes, they're donating tire rotation, so on and so forth. Little Brian's produce, they do so much for the rodeo and that kind of thing. And what happens is when you go in there, people are going, oh, yeah, let me show you my picture. And everybody's got an iPhone. Hey, look what I caught and that kind of thing. So we're looking forward to seeing every single one of you guys who are listening today out there. And if you don't want to pay the $25 for a ticket, keep listening to 106.5. And this is FM Talk 106, I'm sorry. You keep listening here, you'll win your tickets. And like I said, you'll have so much money, you'll need to go to Mike Ward's Liberty Safe and buy yourself a safe and pack it full.
Hey, and Mystic CW, so, okay, MSSRodeo.com, the website. Anything for – do people have to can buy their tickets and just go fish, or is there a captain's meeting, a checkout, anything like that? How's it work?
Here's how it works. When you want to fish at our rodeo – first of all, you buy your tickets, and you plan a narrative strategy. Am I going to go out on a boat? That's right.
That's
what you do. You go narrative strategy.
Hey, Mike, we're going to plan a narrative strategy next time again.
I
want to fish this person's dock. I'm going to go over there, do the freshwater here, or I'm going to go out on the boat, and you know, you have your captains who go in. Now, depending on what your boat is, for example, everybody needs to have a saltwater fishing license.
Sure.
And I think there's $10-12. You can pick them up Walmart, anywhere local. And that's if you're obviously going on the boat. But if you're a freshwater license, we have a kayaking group that comes down from either North or South Carolina that they bring down 50, 60 people, and they kayak out there. And they're into the trouts and all the, you know, all half the the freshwater categories that we have, and they have a really good time too. And believe me, those Carolina people, they can handle their libations in a.
Once again, y'all, there's a if you can't tell, there's a party theme that goes on. But so if people go online and get their ticket, do they have to do anything before fishing on?
Absolutely
on Saturday,
no captain's meeting or anything.
Oh, no. All they got to do is show fish. Up, fish, bring it in, bring your fish in, weigh them in. And another thing, like I said, if you just want to buy tickets to the rodeo to help support mm-hmm. not only the Mystic Stripers but the St. Jude's Children's Hospital, you can go online to MSSRodeo.com or Facebook and Twitter at MSS Rodeo and, pay your $25 and that kind of thing. Come down there. Hang out. There are huge tents and that kind of thing. Bring your lawn chairs and stuff. And when we give away all of our free gifts and stuff like that, the chances are you're going to win. As a matter of fact, I don't even know of a door prize we have that's less than $25. And the last time I checked, I think there's like 112, 115 this year of just door prizes. And
that's
like,
awesome.
Holy cow. I mean, it's how can you lose? There's no way to lose at this thing.
Okay. All right. This is Saturday.
This is
it's
Saturday.
It's going to be out of the Dolphin Island Marina.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And the weigh-in is what time?
Now, the weigh-in that they have is at 5 o'clock. I think it's 5 o'clock.
That's when it's over with?
Yes. And what they do is they shoot a flare into the sky 1 hour before the weigh-in. So you'll know that if you see that flare up in the sky, you know you need to start getting back in there so we can make our weigh-in. But it's a... It's a fantastic event where we have lots of people who come in and come in from out of town, local people who fish.
Good stuff.
And have fun.
MSSRodeo.com. MSSRodeo.com. That's the website. And we will be giving away tickets this coming week, so y'all check it out. And we'll go down and see Mystic CW and the full crew. Thanks, y'all. Thanks for doing this again with us, and I can't wait to see you down there.
Love you guys at FM Talk 106.5.
Thank you. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you here. It is MSSRodeo.com. More information about the Mystic Stripers Fishing Rodeo. And that's happening next weekend for Father's Day weekend. I want to take a second here. First of all, let's talk. I know we're going to talk more fishing. Captain Bobby Abrascato is actually, weather's bad enough, he's joining us in studio in a second, so we'll talk to him. But before that, I want to talk a little bit of hunting. And we can, first of all, talk snapper fishing as much as anybody wants to. I put the pictures up on, I mean, we.
Oh, it's.
I mean, it's a normal thing. It's
everybody
good.
Everybody went, killed them.
Yeah, we.
I didn't go, but everybody else went, killed them.
Killed them. It was, well, I tell you though, I heard a lot of people on the radio while we're fishing were having a hard time earlier on Saturday. A hard time being relative, finding some bigger fish. They weren't eating real good.
Yeah.
We were fishing that the Red Snapper Shootout. I was fishing with Justin Fidala and a crew there.
Y'all had a good
trip. We had a good, trip. Hey, yeah, great trip.
A good crew, too.
And if it wasn't for, I don't know about the crew. But
the crew was great, man.
Ne'er-do-wells.
And Wes Knight and Jason Smith and
that's
Justin
what
Fidala
yeah.
and you.
Yeah,
I mean.
The crew was questionable, but the trip was fun. But the... we were fishing that Red Snapper Shootout, had one that was 24 pounds.
That's a big snapper.
It's a big snapper. And then, you know, we're using big baits and doing all the things you do to catch big snapper.
Right.
But the problem is, within big baits, there's still a 15-pound snapper can eat every big bait you put down almost for a 25-pound Red Snapper.
That's
so
right.
That's the problem. And those were showing up. And those are great fish. You know, it's a two fish aggregate thing, and we weighed in a 24 and a 15.5 or something like that. And the 15.5 was like a carbon copy of a bunch of other ones we caught. 15.5 is a big old snapper.
Big old fine snapper.
But it's almost like you can't put a bait down big enough to catch a 25 pounder. You can keep the 6 pounders from eating it, but the 15 pounder is going to come eat it. So, but we had a great day, caught a bunch of fish. I got to say, you know, we were beaten by 58 pounds for two fish. Of course, a buddy of mine and my neighbor there and his crew.
Mike Candy and
Jonathan Graham.
They did good.
They had two monster snapper. We had one good one and one okay one. But, they did good in that. So, yeah, snapper fishing was good, normal deal. The fish will get a little break this weekend with the unseasonable weather and the rough seas. And then we'll hopefully get back after them next weekend for Father's Day weekend and for the Stripers Rodeo. All right, take a second here before we get get right back into fishing and talk a couple hunting things. You know, on last week's show, had Kenny Weiss on from National Wild Turkey Federation, West Mobile Golden Spurs chapter,
right.
But talking about the National Wild Turkey Calling Championship. It's come back to Mobile. This is a very big deal. This is coming up this Friday and Saturday down at the convention center. The best callers, they're coming from, I think he listed like a dozen states. They're coming, coming
they
here
come
to compete.
All over. This is a world championship.
This is a real big deal, y'all. It's what used to happen down here for years. It went away. It's back now. It is our job. It doesn't cost anything to come down and check it out. But you need to turn out and show that we give a darn about this thing so it stays. So this is Friday and Saturday. You can go back and listen to the podcast from last week with all the details or check our Facebook page or just search for the World Championship Calling Contest with Turkey World Calling Championship. And that information's on our Facebook page. Get all the details. But it's Friday and Saturday at the convention center. Get out there. Just come out for one of the days. You know, check out part of it. It's really neat stuff. And you're going to hear the best callers in the country competing. The best turkey callers. And it's friction. It's mouth calls. It's owl hooting. It's the team calling, which I think is so cool. You got two people painting a picture here with calls. That's going on Friday and Saturday, so don't miss that.
You know, back 30 years ago, this is where people like Preston Pittman came from and
Eddie Salter. Yeah, I mean, this was – when I was a boy, those are the
Matt
guys.
Moret, I mean, you know, all those
– the names you know now.
Yeah, or they all came from the Mobile.
And it used to
World
be –
World Championship.
Used to be in Turkey the Civic Center. Contest. Used to be in the Civic Center in the auditorium there as a boy.
I
would go as a boy and listen to these callers and just be amazed. And this is back here. This is, once again, something that you're going to enjoy. I'm not saying just go there because we need to – go there because you're going to have a blast. And also, we want to show that the city is ready for this to come back. This started, if you go back, you heard the show last week. If you didn't, need to go back and hear my interview with Kenny because the history of this, starting in 1940-something at the Battle House, what he called the Battle House Motel back then. You know, that was this Turkey Calling Championship started right here in Mobile, and it started what was the conservation movement. It funded moving turkeys, trapping them, and putting them in new areas that leads us to be where we are in the times of plenty for turkeys these days. So I'll remind you about it next week, too. Of course, it'll be on the last day. But once again, y'all, this is going on. Just go down, free event at the convention center. You got any questions, email me, hit me up on the Facebook page, and I'll get that for you. Speaking of turkeys and the future of turkey hunting, we have talked about numbers and the states looking at, you know, we're down in population. And what we're looking at really is the poult count.
Yeah.
Right. So the poult count. So the number of because I think we had a stat on a show before where we talked about what it took to get a 4-year-old gobbler. It was like a 1 in 1,000.
Yeah.
You're talking about like 1,000 eggs had to be laid to have 1 4-year-old gobbler. That's how much of a gauntlet turkey's got to live through.
That's
to get,
amazing, really. When you
how
think
special
about
does that let you know how special when you get that turkey with big hooks on them, big strutter? That's a miracle to get that turkey to that point. Okay, it's a miracle. We may take it for granted, but you need to savor it as a miracle. But that process is what? From eggs, from nesting, to poults, and getting those poults to grow up to be big enough to then become gobblers and hens and all that. So the recruitment numbers, the new numbers of turkeys coming into the system is where, not all over the state, because that's one thing, you know, we've talked to Chuck Sykes and others with the state. It's always site-specific. There's some places that the population of turkeys is just fine and growing. There's a lot of properties where it's either neutral or going backwards, and that's what worries people in our state. The way they look as a marker for counting that is poult numbers. How many poults per hen?
Yeah.
You got to be above 2 to 2.1, I think, to be growing the population at all. I think 2 holds steady. 2.1 starts to grow, and then obviously you – if 3 and 4, it would be up. Now, one of the issues is we saw some great growth in turkey populations. You see it in areas of the country where turkeys are newer. When they're new, and there's a bunch of biology research, and there's a theory. This name for somebody, it escapes me right now. When a critter comes into a new new area, they populate very quickly because There's more food sources that hadn't been utilized and all these things. And then they max out kind of the level. They go through a little bit of a rise and they get above their carrying capacity. They come down to the carrying capacity.
And predators are not used to feeding on them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So all these things happen and, you know, you get to a certain point where then you find the new level. Well, we found that in Alabama and then we're declining and they're starting to look at all the causes and to be able to say, people say, it's the coyote. Y'all, it's so many different things when you look into this.
A lot of stuff.
It's habitat, 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 first of all. If you have the habitat, you can deal with some of these other issues.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a picture up on our Facebook page. I'm happy on the poult count. I don't know if they're going to make it how much further, but I got a picture from out at our place. And I don't know how many poults were in that, but it was more than two.
Yeah, well, you can be able to tell, too, because you got your camera out there, and they're coming in there regular.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be able to see, you know, you got four or five today, and next week, if you only got three, something happened.
You'll be in trouble,
So,
But, you know, what I'd love to do, and I know there folks are doing this nationally, and some of the places on social media I'm out there where people are doing their poult reports from around the country. Just what you see. You're in the woods. I saw a hen. She had two babies, or she had three, or she had four. You know, let's do that here and kind of inside this show. If you're on your property doing whatever, you're out, even on the great public lands we have around here, you see a hen, count how many poults she has with her, and we're going to try to do our very unscientific research here on this end.
Well, everybody's got feeders out, too, and people got cameras out, and you know, they're trying to get pictures of the deer mainly, I guess. But if you got the turkeys, too.
Pay attention, though. Yeah, look
attention.
At you, because you look at the picture, you say, there's a turkey. Look down below Mama Turkey's legs and around it. Look for those little things down there, and let us know what you're seeing on poults. Because
be
the state is saying that we're at kind of averaging two and less.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a decline in population. I'd like to add some of our numbers just from our community around here to those numbers and see what you're seeing. And, yeah, like Mike said, if you see four or five today and then it's down to three, those are things worth noting as well. So
absolutely.
Keep us in the loop on that because it's pretty pretty interesting information and it's valuable going forward. All right, and also you mentioned cameras. On a show coming up, I'm going to dive into this more and hopefully we'll get some guests, kind of review what's new in game cameras this year. Because there's a bunch of new ones out, and there always are new ones. But we're kind of review and talk about how you're using them, how the technology's out there, and kind of as this time of year, kind of the buying season for those cameras. I want to get into that and you know give like a shopper's guide, get y'all's opinions as well, what you like, what you don't like. You know, sometimes things come out on these cameras that are just really just bells and whistles that are not really that important. Sometimes they're game changers. So we're going to address that.
Yeah, really
in the
great
show.
Yeah,
we're going to do that in the future.
Everybody's using cameras now, and even me, I'm thinking, well, what cameras do I want to go with? I mean, I got X amount of dollars I want to put in them.
That's
know?
Right. So what's worth? So we're going to do that on a future show. But we're about to talk some speckled trout because I looked up and walking in the studio, Captain Bobby Aprescato from the A Team. We'll come right back with Bobby right here on this Saturday morning. All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all here on this Saturday. And you know the marine forecast isn't good when I can actually get Captain Bobby Aprescato in studio. You know, usually when we talk to him, he's busy catching. But right now, a little well-deserved downtime on a kind of a stormy weekend here in June. Captain Bobby, thanks for coming in.
Well, you know, I noticed even when the weather was bad and I asked you about going wade fishing with me on Sunday, you didn't check up either. So it ain't all me, Mikey. I can tell you that right now.
Well, I mean,
I know somebody else will go out there
I'm
and
I'm going to get wet
there.
Anyway, wade fishing.
That's exactly right. And the fish are already wet. They don't care.
Yeah.
I got some wade fishing to talk about with you. Got so much. Good to have you in studio. And let's start off with something we talked about on Thursday on the show. And that was that transition time here in June and live bait fishing and fishing croakers. It's croaker 30 now.
It's croaker time, and it will be probably through, you know, at least September. Sometimes it gets into October. As long as the water temperature is over 75, they just get a taste for them. And the hotter it gets, the more they want to eat them, you know. So the peak period for it is through the, you know, the hot parts of the summer.
I know a lot of people say they don't care why they eat them.
They just
eat them. But I, because I'm a nerd, I wonder, you know, you hear – it's because they eat speckled trout eggs, croaking draws the trout
in. I've heard that, yeah.
Mike, I mean,
got
a theory?
Is it because the croakers show up more this time of year?
No. I mean, they're there. The
all
croakers
time.
Around year-round. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you think about it. Just go fishing Fowl River with if you put a piece of dead shrimp on, you're going to be catching them little bitty croakers in the dead of winter in there, you know. I don't know. I've heard all of those things that you just mentioned, too,
that,
you know, and I don't know what the reason for. But what gets me even more so about it is, you know, to your point, is – you know, why? I just don't know why they get the taste for it. You can put one out in November or December, and they'll die old age before a trout will eat it.
Yeah,
right. But you put one out, you know, when it starts to get hot, and they eat them up.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows why? You know, I don't know.
It don't make a lot of sense.
It doesn't.
You know, they'll hit shrimp
year-round. That's a year-round deal, yeah, that's right.
So you would think they'd. Yeah, they feed on croakers too.
Yeah,
and what about menhaden? I mean,
oh yeah, that too. Yeah, yeah.
This time and
more so.
Good?
Yeah. Finfish, you know, and it's just specific to the croakers because you can use finger mullet and you can use menhaden, you know, more through the year and still have success with them. You know,
yeah.
But it's something about just the croaker bite is just during the summer for some reason. I don't, you know, again, I don't know why because again, they eat finfish. Matter of fact, probably a little more towards finfish. During the winter, because there's
once
no shrimp.
Once it gets into deep winter, I'm fishing with you. We're fishing almost all finfish imitations.
At
whether it's hard baits or a slick or something, we're finfish imitating.
That's exactly right, you know.
And
so.
Do you typically catch bigger fish on croakers than you do shrimp?
Well, yeah, because there's to an extent, but it doesn't mean that you don't catch any 16 and 18 inch trout on you know. What you do is you weed out the 12, 13, 14-inch trout that you would be able to catch. That, you know, if you get around
so you
them with
catch
shrimp.
Bigger ones.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
you
yeah.
Can, yeah, you weed those out, but, yeah. But it doesn't mean that you're still not going to be able to go out there and catch a box of eater-sized fish, which are your 16 to 20-inch fish.
Right.
You know, so you'll still catch those, but then again, you start putting those. But to the shrimp point, I mean, we've caught all of us have caught giant trout on live shrimp.
Yep.
So it doesn't mean that the big trout won't eat live shrimp too.
Right.
So I think that's all you're doing is just kind of reducing that, just simply because those fish can't eat a croaker. You know, the small. I think they would try. I mean, we've caught 12-inch trout on topwater baits that are as big as you know, almost as big as
front set of hooks in his nose, back set of hooks in his tail.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
by the way, that's what we call those little ones. We call those deformed trout. You know, because their tails are too close to their eyes. You know?
They're not like.
And I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm speaking from experience. I don't know if I've ever seen so many small trout as around right now. And that's
great.
That can be a good thing. Yeah, there's lots and lots and lots of those little guys around right now.
That's real good. I mean, just like in the last segment, I was talking about poults and the next year and the next year's crop on turkeys. I get excited by seeing little tiny baby turkeys the same way I do about 10-inch, 12-inch speckled trout.
That's right. And the trout grows so fast, it doesn't take long, you know, for the 12-inch trout to be a legal trout.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then, again, you got those coming back, and you see those numbers, and they reach sexual maturity, and they start making more and more. So hopefully that's a sign of good things to come.
All right. I want to get into so much here, but on this croaker bite thing. So croakers are on. They're feeding on croakers. Another nice thing is that, you know, we talked about it on Thursday, cleans up your bite with catfish. I've caught some especially a gaff top. A gaff top will eat a croaker like nobody's business, and a big ladyfish will too. It's not that it's not fair to say they never, but it slows down the rate of
unwanted species.
Yeah, right?
That's exactly right. You know, and so, you know, when you talk about croaker fishing, I get, you know, one of the things, even backing up from the fishing part of them, is getting them and using them, you know. And really, there's only one dealer on Dolphin Island that does a good job with croakers is Maurice and them down at the – he's always had a great – handles the croakers properly, keeps them properly, and they look good when you buy them.
Yeah,
you know?
That's
so
important.
It's important.
If the net is coming out, if they're scooping up the croakers and putting them towards the bucket and you don't hear –
yeah.
That's the tails going crazy, then they're not good.
And they're spraying water all over you.
You want them to act like they're about to come out of the net that's putting them in the bucket.
If you look, before I'd even order mine, I'd look in there and see, you know, what they look like, and if there's a lot of them floating in the well. If that's the case, don't waste your money, because they charge you for them. I mean,
they're not cheap.
It's like $7 or $7.50 a dozen right now. So you're putting a 50-plus cent bait out there every time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you better make sure you're getting some good bait for it, you know, because you start losing four of a dozen. And I mean, now you're probably, I can't do the math that fast in my head, but now you're starting to get close to about $1 a bait. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely.
And there is a chance you're going to lose. I mean, there's going to be, it depends on how good your live well system is.
Right.
But unless it's perfect, you're going to lose some during the day. You're
right. And if we have time, we'll talk about live well systems.
Yeah.
But getting back to the catching part is, you know, the other thing you'll run into is, being that there's only one dealer, is you go down there on a busy weekend during the summer. I mean, he can only keep so many croakers, mm-hmm. and they go quick.
Sure.
You know, you guys get guys going in there, like when we ordering croakers, being a guide, going, I'm going in there getting 50 to 100 croakers.
Mm-hmm.
So you get eight of us in line.
Yeah, there goes every croaker.
Boom, they're gone. You know what I'm saying? So I've learned, and I learned, and I had to kind of relearn it, because the only way I used to be able to get them was to catch them myself. But then oil spill year, when everybody was shut down, I said, man, I had to break out the bait net again. And that's the way to catch them. To me, that's the best way to do it, because you can, if you get halfway good at it, you can make one fairly short drag and have enough bait to at least get started. You might have to go back out and re-drag.
Mm-hmm. If it's you get nice real good to be able, at it. It's nice to be able to re-drag during the day.
Exactly.
And you get a bunch of fresh bait.
You get a bunch of fresh bait. And it's not hard to catch them during the day either. You don't have to. I like to catch them just so I'm ready to go first thing in the morning. So I do my dragging usually before daylight, well before I pick up my trips. But that's the best way to do it. Another way that's worked really well, but I tend to catch a little bit bigger croakers with it, is just hook and line in them. And I've been doing that more when I'm doing a little bit of snapper fishing now.
Yeah.
Is I'll go and hook and line them. I'll keep the dead shrimp from my trip that morning and just go out little pieces of shrimp on a brim hook. And it's amazing. You get over some shell or something, how fast you can, you know, I wouldn't do it for a trout trip because I like to carry 50 or 100 croakers.
Right.
But on a snapper trip, and
I'm speaking to you
you something, but I'm talking to Mike, by the way, and Sean too, is I don't need 100 croakers when I go snapper fishing. You know what I'm saying? Usually if I got, you know, I'm going to go snapper, two dozen, I'm good.
Right.
Usually it's, you know, if I can't get it done with two dozen croakers, I don't need to be out there.
You know,
of course, you've never seen me snapper fish either. I'm pretty bad at it.
Well, you know, when people are, you know, when the bait shops are really catching croakers, though, sometimes it used to happen maybe in the old days more, they'd split the tanks and say, here's offshore croakers, here's trout croakers.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just by default, when we were young, just because they were out of trout croakers when we get there, you know, we'd pull up or we end up buying offshore croakers, even when we didn't go offshore, and use them for speckled trout fishing and caught some real good fish over the years. It was amazing to us that trout would go after a croaker that size, but they will.
But it, probably a slower bite, though.
A slower bite. So if you hook and line them, you catch some big – I mean, you probably catch a little bit bigger croaker hook and lining them too.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was saying is usually when I'm doing that – and I've done that when I'm – if I'm tournament trout fishing or something, I'll spend some time hook and lining them because I want those big ones. And those are the ones that come in real well and look real well in your live well too, you know. But you still catch some of the smaller ones that you'd use, but
you
I just can't fill them well.
I'm not looking for X marks a spot because this is – but if this is strange, but this kind of conversations we have because bait is the key this time of year – Where do you, if you're depth of water, where do you go find a good croaker bite?
The depth doesn't really matter, but I can tell you some places that I do it all over the place. You know, a lot of times if I know I'm going the next day towards the end of my trip, even while the charter's still fishing, I'll start catching my croakers.
Nice.
You know? But I'll tell you some good places real close to the island is right around the airport rocks are great. If you get around right along the edge of the rocks with a little hook, you can catch two dozen croakers. Two guys can catch two dozen croakers real fast.
Yeah.
So the airport rocks are real good. The shell, any of the shell points around Little Dolphin Island or Dolphin Island Bay, and a really good place if you can do it, if you got time to do it, is that little sand reef around the Boykin Reef area.
Yeah.
Where you used to see, now everybody fishes on the reef, but remember where everybody used to fish on that white trout reef out there just northeast of Little Dolphin Island,
right?
The sand reef.
Yeah.
Between the Boykin Reef and where the old ghost rig or the old do nothing rig used to be. We call it Sean's rig, by the way. But the old, he has
those
caught a couple
days.
Of big, yeah. Anyway, but you know, that sand reef out there, and you can just take a big split shot and a little brim hook and a piece of squid or fresh shrimp or gulp even works. You can take little cut pieces of gulp. Shrimp's the best.
Right.
And just let the boat drift and drag it along. It's amazing how many you'll catch doing that. Plus, you'll catch some little white trout too and stuff like that. So that works good.
Yeah.
But as far as like if I'm going to be for a trial, I'm keeping my net. You know, I'm gonna be dragging my net. You know what I'm saying?
And 12 foot.
I have three. I have a 16, a 12, and a 6. And I can keep the 6 on this boat up. My Skeeter now has I can actually keep that 6 in.
Okay.
But my 12 is the one I really like because it's big enough.
See, I split the difference. I got 8.
Yeah, which an 8 works great. I had an 8 too that worked really well. But I have a 12 that I really like. Because the lead line's set back from the bib, and so what happens is the croakers a lot of times will go over a net if that buoy line is right above the weights, they'll go right over it. Well, this thing does – because a true shrimp net, they don't want all that in their net. They want all that going over the top or around the sides.
Right.
This thing gets them in the wings and the bibs and in the top of the net, and I've had – during the oil spill, particularly when the boats weren't dragging a lot, the big shrimp boats,
right?
And you had tons of bait. I had plenty of days to where I would get to my bag and dump it because I had enough. I had 75 or 100 croakers in the wings of the net. By the time I picked them out of the wings of the net,
man.
Now that was bumper crop because they weren't cleaning the bay out. But even now, I have plenty of days to where I'll have at least half of them before I even get to my bag in there.
All right, we're going to come back from the break and talk more about this. Captain Bobby Abrascato from the A Team is in. Croaker fishing is on, and we're talking about getting croakers before we even fish the croakers. It's a two-part step here. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. And it's a rare occasion you can get my buddy Captain Bobby Abrascato in the studio, but we're enjoying it this morning for sure.
Absolutely.
And talking croaker fishing and procurement, which means getting croakers before you use them. We talked about hook and line and some of those things. Any tips for somebody dragging a net? Pretty interesting. You're talking about some nets catch croakers better than others.
Yeah. Well, you can get them you can get small nets like you were talking about having an 8.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, unless you're going to have somebody helping you, to me, 16 starts to get kind of tedious.
Sure.
And I like a bridle.
And where are you going to put it when you get through with it?
That's the other catch, you have to store the thing too.
If it's on the deck all day, it's a pain.
It's a pain in the butt, you know. So I use a 12 that was kind of specifically designed to catch finfish, and I got aluminum doors on mine, which are fabulous,
man.
Those are just fabulous. So you can run a bigger size door. I run 12 by 24 doors. So anyway, which is nice. That really spreads that net for you. But anyway, one of the things I would focus on, first of all, right off the bat, you have to have a shrimp. Even if you're dragging for croakers, you have to have a bait shrimp and a recreational shrimping license.
That's right.
It's a whopping $16.
Yeah, go online, get it right now.
Just go get it. Yeah, that's no big deal. You're going to have that. Yeah. So, what I look for is, you know, channels and drop-offs, something that's going to kind of concentrate the fish a little bit, you know. For example, like the Bilobattery channel is a good croaker drag. But if you can get along the dramatic drop-offs, particularly where there's some current, you know, areas
which
around.
Which side of that drop-off?
No, I want to get on the deep side. Yeah, I'm trying to keep the boat right on the ledge so it's dragging along, you know, the dragging along the ledge.
What about ICW?
Yeah, well, if you want to risk that, I don't really care to do that. You can do that, but you know, but as you're pulling a net, the boats don't maneuver real
well.
That's
right.
And technically,
if there's traffic, obviously not.
But I don't like that area as much. I don't like areas that I haven't drug a lot. I start getting a little nervous when I'm have to drag because I love the net that I got, and I keep my fingers crossed, and I've had it for I don't know how many years now, and knock on wood, I'll probably get hung up tomorrow and lose it. But now that I've said this, but that's the kind of places I look for, you know, is places that have drop-offs like that, places where there's some current, too, seems to help. The area around the east end of Dolphin Island or the west end of Dolphin Island, both of that areas where you're getting a lot of current flow through.
How long you drag?
I rarely drag. I'm not going to drag any longer than 10 minutes.
Okay.
You know, even if I don't think I'm catching a whole lot, the ones that are in there start to get beat up after that.
That's right. You don't want to stay too long.
Yeah. And if I'm on them good, like the oil spill year, I was really, really on them good. The first time I drug from croakers during the oil spill year, I was on them so thick, I thought I was hung up. When I brought it up, the whole net looked like a sausage. I mean, it was unbelievable. So I was dragging my 10 or 11 minutes, and so I said, well, I'm going to cut it back to 5 minutes. So I cut it back to 5 minutes and didn't even get to the bag. I had enough bait in the wings of the net to get me through. So then I got to the point where I dropped the net, and when the net came tight, I'd go ahead and start picking it up, and I'd have enough. Now that's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
I mean, I would literally let the net out when I felt the boat slow. I'd reach up or if I had somebody with me, I'd take it out of gear. I'd reach up myself and take it out of gear and start pulling it up, and I had enough bait. That's when dreams are made. And I mean, dude, I would be in. I'd run out, drag my net, and have it back in my truck. Literally, the whole process picked out and everything in less than a half an hour.
That's when it's good.
Yeah,
okay, a lot of people
and it was clean. You know what I'm saying? It was the occasional catfish, but most of it was croakers or a few spots.
Yeah, get ready because not all of them work like Bobby.
No.
Sometimes they're dirty.
Those
drags.
Are my good ones. We don't have near enough time for me to tell you my bad ones. So
I'm sitting there sitting at the sorting bucket here, going, not another bucket like this. Oh yeah, I think there's one croaker in amongst them.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, people are listening right now that want to get into dragging for their own bait, where's the best place to go buy a net?
Well, there's a couple places in Baldwin County I hear do a good job. The people down at Tide Marine, which is in Bala Battery, build great nets. And they got, matter of fact, they have a lot of them already built of the sizes that I'm talking about. I don't know if they go down. At one time they were carrying sixes, but I know they have an 8 and they have a 12. And that's what I do. Or you can get them custom made too. There's people that make them, you know. But that's where I'd go if you just wanted to go get one, you know.
Okay. And price? What are we looking at?
You can get them for probably about $300, you know, which pays, you know. Yeah. But it'll pay with Kroger's.
Don't take many drags.
Believe me, there's a good payback on that. If you can get halfway decent at it, it's a good payback.
And before we run out of time, we just got like 2 minutes left. So we've talked about getting these croakers. Run us through quickly fishing these croakers.
Well, I use them. I do them two different ways. One of them is I tight line them when I'm fishing a current situation. You know, like in the bay, for example, I use a number 4 bronze kale hook, and I use just enough weight to get the croaker to the bottom. You know,
so that varies.
Yeah, it varies. It could be anywhere from no weight at all to the biggest weight I carry is a 3/8 ounce slip sinker. Anything heavier than that, you're probably not going to have much luck with trout because you're really talking about some heavy current there. Right. So 3/8, and I'll Carolina rig it. You know, if I use a slip sinker, Carolina rig it, or just down to a little BB shot.
Yeah, I've seen you do split shot a good bit.
Yeah, split shot. I just want to get it down there. I want that croaker to be able to move around a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So the weight's about 3 foot up above?
Yeah. I like to leave a nice long leader because when that weight's down on the bottom, you want that croaker to be able to move around there. So I want it up there about, you know, I like it about 3 feet or so up there.
Okay.
Or then I fish it under a cork, like a slip cork, most of the time in that. And in that case, I'm just using a regular slip cork rig, which I use number 8 black pearl or black chrome or bronze treble, and in that case with a kale hook I hook them just through the top lip. Some people will tell you hook them through both lips, hook them through the top lip, hook just enough meat to make your cast because you want that hook coming out when you get bit. You want that. Now you're gonna throw some croakers off.
Also,
if you're reeling that, if you get bit on a tight line, you reel it up and the croakers looks like it's been through a meat grinder, you're hooking the croaker too deep into the mouth. You want to catch it just so that hook comes out and catches the fish. Then the other way is under a slip cork, and in that case I hook them right in front of the dorsal fin, again just catching enough meat to make your cast, because when that fish bites it, you want that croaker coming off.
That's right.
And the croaker coming off and the hook going into the fish.
Good tip.
Those are the two ways I
dig it way down in there.
No,
you're going to lose fish.
And you're going to miss your fish almost every time when you do that. You know, if you're coming up and the croaker's not, even if you hook the fish and he's knocked up the line, you're hooking him too deep. You want that croaker to come off there, you know. So that's the two ways I do them. When I'm slip corking them, I'm always leaving the reel out of gear and letting them float just freely with the tide. You don't, if you hook them through the dorsal, you really have to let them swim natural. If you lock it in gear when they're hooked through the dorsal, see what's going to happen, and fish can't breathe.
Like a shrimp or anything, if you lock
it. Exactly. You want it drifting with the current.
Well, what about if you're tight lining
and if I'm tight lining them, I don't even put my hands. I stick them in the rod holder and let that hook do the work.
This man preaches the truth.
Yeah. You can watch that croaker get nervous, and if you move that rod, that trout will give up on them, you know, so I leave
it's
it in
neat
there.
How it loads up when a trout hits a croaker,
and nobody touches the rod until it's bent over and touching the water. And I'm going like, no, guys, bends over. Okay, go ahead, get it.
Yeah, you know, and they hook themselves with that kale hook
every time, and just about every time it's hooked in either the side of the mouth. Very, very, very rarely are the gut hooked. Yes. Somehow or another, it hooks them in the side of the mouth. Picture and let them go, you know. So,
it's like a tuna circle hook.
I mean, exactly. I guess it's the same concept.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
They work.
They really work good. And
they
that's
work
how
so I, we don't have to mess them up. We just sit and watch them work.
That's exactly right. Let the hook and the bait do the work. And that frees you up to drift your slip corks then.
Yep.
So you got two rods in the rod holder now, and I'm out here throwing my slip corks out to the side and letting them float. So I'm kind of doing all kinds of stuff and letting the hook, like you said, letting the bait and the hook do the work.
All right. Somebody wants to get a trip booked with you. How do they do it?
Go to ateamfishing.com is the easiest way, and it's got contact information, including a phone number if you want to do it that way, and we'll get back to you and hopefully maybe even go do some croaker fishing.
Man, it's fun. Go with this man and see how it's really done. That is for sure. We're out of here. Prep Sports Report on the way in next. We'll post up the podcast in the next hour or so, and you can share it with your friends. You can go straight to our website or any of our podcast platforms like iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or Spotify.